We're also joined by renowned public radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Daniel McKay, there are some people who are skeptical about whether Rodan even needs a lieutenant governor. Why does the state really need this office?
Well, they need leaders. They don't need cheerleaders. And if you have a good leader in that office, you're going to get great results. And I have a track record that shows great results, both on the finances, on schools, and certainly ethical matters. So I just don't agree with that. I mean, you eliminate that office. If you actually reduce it to the ridiculous, it's about it comes out to about 2 cents per person per week. I mean, I think I can bring a whole lot more value than a dollar a person in the state of Rhode Island to that office.
The state is going to be facing tens of millions of dollars in unanticipated Medicaid costs because of HealthSource Rhode Island's version of Obamacare. Can the state afford to continue to operate its own version of Obamacare?
Well, I think it can if it's smart about it. You know, I think this other candidates have spoken to this issue about outsourcing something that, quite frankly, our lieutenant governor and the people on HealthSource have done an admirable job on. So if we're an example of excellence in that space, then we should be able to outsource that in a way that we could make it affordable for the state of Rhode Island to continue it.
And when you say outsource it, what do you mean by that?
Well, there are other states that aren't doing as well, whether they're on the federal plan or whether they've fall short on the plans that was funded by the federal government. But I think that's part of a lieutenant governor's role, just as I was as a mayor of Cumberland and organized municipal leaders throughout the state of Rhode Island to save millions of dollars on our health care. Well, I think that a lieutenant governor needs to go out if that's an area in the wheelhouse, and I think it would be in my office. Certainly good work by the lieutenant governor Roberts should not be just set aside. So I would continue that, and I would staff that up in the office to continue to move in that direction as far as health care and preventative health care, which I think is the next step that I think is logical.
Let's go to Scott.
Shouldn't lieutenant governors and governors run as a ticket on each party? I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous. We had Governor Kachiri and we had Lieutenant Governor Roberts, Republican Democrat. One time he went off to visit the troops in the Middle East and didn't even tell the lieutenant governor that he was gone. And we had a huge snowstorm and an emergency.
I think it makes sense that I think that the voters should have a chance to weigh in on that. I won't campaign on that issue because if I'm elected, I take office and for 4 years you're going to work without being aligned. So I think the voters should have a chance on that. Like I said, I wouldn't make that a part of my campaign mantra, and I would, because I think there's a job to be done and effective work can be done during that 4 years leading up to that particular possibility.
On the master lever, there's been some great confusion, people say, on one part. There's also debate at the State House over it. What do you think?
I think it's going to happen, and it's just a matter of
abolishing
time.
Abolishing it, right?
Yes, abolishing it. I think it's just a matter of time. It seems as though the House side has said it's time. And as far as the Senate goes, I've had conversations with senators who said it's just a matter of when you pull the trigger. So pull the trigger now.
You're a big supporter of the concept known as mayoral academies, and there are two more mayoral academies on the drawing board. How many more mayoral academies can the state sustain?
It can sustain as many great schools as we can possibly muster, whether it's coming from the district or a charter or a mayoral academy. That's our roadmap to success in the state of Rhode Island. We hit Massachusetts levels on education. You can't have enough great schools. So I think that if the district schools are quick in terms of adjusting to the to the great results that we're getting currently in the Blackstone Valley Prep Merrill Academy, you'll need less. But if not, you'll need more.
Your home community of Cumberland has one of the lowest rates of per pupil spending in its schools in the state, and the Cumberland superintendent wrote a letter in March criticizing disparities in funding for traditional public schools and charter schools. How do you respond to his critique that this issue has to be addressed on a statewide basis, that funding for charter schools is flowing through school departments in municipalities?
Well, first, I wouldn't blend the need for higher outcomes in our schools and the funding issues that they were dealing with. So I would separate those two issues. As far as the funding if it's causing some difficulties in the districts, I'd be more than happy, and municipal leaders be more than happy to sit down and try to resolve that and work our way through that. But it's certainly not a reason not to continue to push forward with great public schools, that which we're getting in the Mayoral Academy.
We're talking here with Lieutenant Governor candidate Daniel McKean. Now back to Scott.
You know, Massachusetts looks like they're on the cusp of going to build some real destination, high-class casinos right on our borders. What do we do in Rhode Island to protect that revenue stream? And should Newport Grand become a full Las Vegas-style casino with table games?
I think it makes sense if you're looking to protect that revenue. We're projecting as much as $100 million of lost revenue as a result over the years. And municipal leaders throughout the state of Rhode Island are concerned about that, and we've met as a coalition to talk about that. I think that one of the things you can look at, and I have had conversations with people in doing the research, let's create the sport betting in the state of Rhode Island. And if in fact we're going to continue to be involved as a revenue source in the gambling industry, we need to have oversight of it. We need to make sure it's on the up and up. But let's expand the strategy so that we have a competitive advantage. And I would certainly be looking into the sport betting strategy.
Isn't that difficult given the federal law?
It is difficult, but that's where you need leadership. And you need to be able. I mean, it was difficult to bring $17 billion into defense and building submarines, and that's just been announced. So there's nothing that you can't get done if it makes sense and you have a good plan to bring it forward.
Well, speaking of thorny problems, there seems to be some general agreement that the property tax is the most onerous tax in Rhode Island. What do you think should be done about that?
Well, I happen to be the first municipal leader in the state of Rhode Island to sign an ordinance with a tax cap 2 years before the General Assembly. And when you talk about Cumberland's, the way that Cumberland has rebounded from a junk bond rating to an A rating, and we just got three upgrades from Standard & Poor's this summer to go to a double A rating, I think it's important to contain the cost. And there's strategies that you can do in regionalization, consolidation, and you should make every effort, and I would, in the lieutenant governor's office, make that an office where municipal leaders, both school and municipal leaders, could hang their hat and really work through those issues so that make it even more aware that the General Assembly does have impact in terms of our local property tax. I could give you, back to the idea of whether you could pay for that office with skill and talent in that office, I could give you $1.5 million of instant savings without ever losing any service levels.
What would you do about gun control? What do you favor as far as responsible types of control on guns?
On the guns, I think that you enforce the laws that are there. I am a strong advocate of public safety. Our police department in our town is a nationally accredited police department. But I would follow the lead on your police, leadership on that matter. They're the ones who are dealing with that issue. I think on a national level, wouldn't be in my wheelhouse either as a mayor or a lieutenant governor. But I think you need to protect the Second Amendment. But I also think you need to be local, talking about the mental health issues that may relate to that problem that seems to be exasperating. But I also think you need to have local and state enforcement of the laws and really work hard to make sure that you're fully enforcing the rules and regulations that surround licensing for guns and uses of guns.
Your Democratic opponent for Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State Ralph Mollis, has gained some traction with Democratic insiders and labor. What is your strategy for overcoming that?
I take any support, and I met with a labor group as early as yesterday, and I let them know, look, don't judge a book by its cover. Open the book and take a look what's inside. I have been mayor of the town of Cumberland in my 12th year. I would venture to say I have fewer grievances from the union than any municipality during that time frame. And I'll just give you one quick story. When I became mayor again in 2007, I called every union person into a room with me, one on 150, 170. And I said, look, this is going to be a tough economic time, but not one individual is going to go home and say, I neither have a paycheck or have health insurance. And I kept that promise. So I don't expect to get all of labor support. I understand it's a bumpy road, in particular in terms of the education area. What I'm asking people is look at my record, look at how I've worked with people, and then make your own decision. So I don't expect that I'm going to get none, and I don't expect I'll get all, but I'll get my share of the working families, whether they're union or non-union in the state of Rhode Island.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Democratic Lieutenant Governor candidate Daniel McKee.
Well, thank you very much for the time.